During my younger years, my friends and I would travel from Denver to Salt Lake City for the winter skiing that was particularly special because of the softness of the snow and the steepness of the terrain. On a clear day, we could sometimes see the Great Salt Lake extend westward across the desert basins towards Nevada. This lake has some special benefits for man and environment. Today's segment is part of the series titled, Water is a Many Splendid Thing. Hello, I'm Steve Baker. This is Living Water. The Great Salt Lake is the largest natural lake west of the Mississippi River. On any given year, the Great Salt Lake may range from 950 to 3,300 square miles in size. This huge change in size occurs because the lake has no outlet and receives a different amount of water each year. Its shallow depth and hot basin location causes a lot of evaporation of accumulated water. Water from three river systems, the Jordan, Weber, and Bear, deposit their loads of minerals into the Great Salt Lake, where evaporation causes salts to accumulate in the lake with each passing year. It's been referred to as America's Dead Sea. I met Bill Krause at the Visitor Center in Salt Lake City and had a chat about the lake and its value to this region. Bill came to the Great Salt Lake area from Michigan looking for challenges offered by steep, snowy slopes of the Wasatch Range. He pointed out to me that the Great Salt Lake supports the migration of many different birds as a stopover to fatten up and rest before the next leg of their trip.
I think one of its biggest areas of importance for the natural world is it serves as a kind of a resting ground between point A and point B for migratory, especially shorebirds. Somewhere around in between 2 and 5 million shorebirds stop through here every year. 2 million of one of my favorite little birds called an eared grebe, which is kind of a comical looking half shorebird, half duck guy that runs around out there. They stop off here from summer grounds in the north on the way down south to put on some weight and add some energy to their systems before they go over the desert. And yeah, I mean, it's very important for the shorebirds and the waterfowl. Pelicans, the American white pelican, uses an island called Gunnison Island in the northwest arm of the lake as a nursery for the birds of the western United States and even western North America. It's a very important part of their year. I was reading something about the brine fly that they estimated that at any given point along the beach, there was something on the order of 300,000 brine flies per like 150 yards of beach when they were hatching. So they come and they eat the bugs that are out there, mostly brine flies, as well as the brine shrimp themselves in the water.
What came as a surprise to me was the fact that the Great Salt Lake has a significant impact on the snow received by Salt Lake City and the local mountains. Clouds form when the cold west winds meet the warm water of the Great Salt Lake. These lake effects are commonly present during the late fall, early winter times, and then again during the spring.
We don't get a lot of weather that comes down out of the north and swirls through here for one reason or another. I know that north in Wyoming, like resorts like Jackson Hole and in Big Sky, Montana, they depend on those kind of Arctic patterns. And our patterns tend to come straight across from the Pacific over the Sierra Nevadas, lose a lot of moisture as they go across the desert of Nevada. And then, the Great Salt Lake is definitely more influential than those kind of patterns from the north. When they come, they're nice. But the best ones are the drier storms that leave that nice dry powder that we call cold smoke. You can see at Snowbird, you can see the Great Salt Lake from the top of the tram. It's 11,000 foot hidden peak. Most of the other resorts are kind of sheltered in basins or in behind ridgelines from the Great Salt Lake. But you can from the top of Snowbird.
When not coaching or teaching skiing, Bill sometimes visits his favorite part of the Great Salt Lake shoreline. It was on one of those spontaneous hikes that he witnessed an amazing view.
I'll tell you a story about a couple years ago when I visited the Great Salt Lake. It was in the early springtime, and I visited Ogden Bay, which is just north of Salt Lake City. It is where the Weber River and Bear River empty out into the lake. And the water is fresh enough there for carp and a striped and white bass hybrid to live. The carp were too numerous, and the Utah Department of Wildlife Resources decided to do a cull. And they used some